Now, if you will turn with me to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel. I'm going to read from the Pew Bible. It's on page 466. Second Samuel chapter 9. I'll be reading verses 1 through 13, the whole chapter. 2 Samuel 9. Listen. David asked, "Is there anyone still left in the house of Saul to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Now there was a servant of Saul's household named Ziba. They called him to appear before David, and the king said to him, "Are you Ziba?" "Your servant," he replied. The king asked, "Is there no one still left of the house of Saul to whom I can show God's kindness?" Ziba answered the king, "There is still a son of Jonathan. He is crippled in both feet." "Where is he?" the king asked. Ziba answered, "He is at the house of Machir, son of Ammiel, in Lodabar." So King David had him brought from Lodabar, from the house of Machir, son of Ammiel. When Mephibosheth, son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David, he bowed down to pay him honor. David said, "Mephibosheth." "Your servant," he replied. "Don't be afraid," David said to him, "for I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan. I will restore to you all the land that belonged to your grandfather Saul, and you will always eat at my table." Mephibosheth bowed down and said, "What is your servant that you should notice a dead dog like me?" Then the king summoned Ziba, Saul's servant, and said to him, "I have given your master's grandson everything that belonged to Saul and his family. You and your sons and your servants are to farm the land for him and bring in the crops so that your master's grandson may be provided for." And Mephibosheth, grandson of your master, will always eat at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then Ziba said to the king, "Your servant will do whatever my lord the king commands his servant to do." So Mephibosheth ate at David's table like one of the king's sons. Mephibosheth had a young son named Micah, and all the members of Ziba's household were servants to Mephibosheth, and Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem, because he always ate at the king's table, and he was crippled in both feet. And may the Lord bless to our hearts and lives this reading and hearing of his holy and inspired word. Let us now look to God for a few moments of silent prayer. Hear our prayers, O Lord, and answer them according to your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm a people watcher. And one of the most interesting things about going to a shopping mall or Walmart is a chance to watch people. And you wonder about the story, about the lives of the people that you see. Of course, they may be watching me too and wondering about me. and who I am. I do the same thing when I read the Bible. When I read the names of people in the Bible, I think about their personal history and what the Bible says about them. I wonder what's behind each name, each person. And there are a lot of names in the Bible. You go through it from Adam and Eve to Noah and Moses, and then you get to Jesus and the disciples in the New Testament and Paul. And each story that you read about these individuals, there's a lesson for us. I'm sure God, who inspired the Holy Bible, had a reason for revealing these individuals and what goes on in their lives. There are lessons there for us to learn, to apply to our own lives. And for example, there's a man who is mentioned in the Old Testament whose story makes me think of the Lord's table. His story reminds me of the privilege that each one of us has in being invited to the Lord's table. This individual is mentioned four times in the second book of Samuel. His name is mentioned when he was 5 years old, when he was a young man, when someone misinterpreted his actions, and when he was given an inheritance. His name was Mephibosheth. Not a common name. You don't come across that name these days. Now, you come across names like Paul and Jonathan and Adam and Noah. You come across those familiar names, but not the name Mephibosheth. Now, we have to know something about his father and his grandfather in order to know and understand his circumstances. His grandfather was King Saul, king of Israel. His father was Jonathan, Saul's beloved son. Now, the Israelites, as we know, were at war with the Philistines. And Saul and Jonathan and two of Saul's other sons went out to fight. The Israelites lost the battle. There was a wholesale slaughter. King Saul and his sons were killed. And when the news of the defeat got back to the capital, the nurse of Jonathan's 5-year-old son, Mephibosheth, took the boy and fled from the city, fearful for his life. As she was running, she dropped the boy, and the fall permanently crippled him in both of his feet. Then David becomes the new king of Israel. And since Saul, on numerous occasions, had threatened David's life, Mephibosheth's nurse was fearful for the life of this young boy. And she was afraid that the new king, David, might destroy all the remaining members of Saul's family. That's why she ran away. And she kept the boy in hiding. And she told him, as he grew older, that he lived under a threat, afraid that King David would one day want to get rid of all descendants of Saul. Now, because of his diplomacy, David was able to establish peace in the land. Israel was no longer at war against any of her surrounding countries. And one day, the Bible tells us from our scripture, David begins to wonder if there's anybody in Saul's family who is still living. And he discovered that through one of Saul's servants, that Saul had a grandson, Mephibosheth. He was a crippled young man living in obscurity in a little town about 25 miles south of Jerusalem. David, hearing about this, sent for Mephibosheth. Now, as you can imagine, the young man was frightened, afraid that David was going to get rid of all the descendants of Saul. So Mephibosheth thought his life was in danger. But he had been summoned by King David. So he hobbled his way into the king's court, ready to hear a death sentence. But instead, he heard King David say, "Mephibosheth, you shall live here with me as one of my sons, and eat at my table." Mephibosheth, as you can imagine, could not believe what he heard. "You're going to be kind to me," he said to the king. "Should a king show kindness to a dead dog like me?" And King David said, "You shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons." And Mephibosheth did. And the Bible says, from that time on, he ate regularly with the king as though he were one of his sons. On this Worldwide Communion Sunday, all of us who have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior are invited to eat at the King's table. Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and this is His table, and He invites us who believe in Him to become a part of this table, to eat at the King's table. This is His table. It reaches back to the upper room in Jerusalem. It's the longest table in the world. It reaches to every part of the earth where there are followers of Jesus Christ. Represented at this table are many languages, different races, many nations. And no matter what denomination, no matter how rich or poor, no matter what race or national background, all Christians are invited to the King's table. This is the most widespread religious observance of the world. Every Christian is a part of it. And all who believe and trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior are invited to eat at the King's table. Now, this invitation to the King's table was a surprise to Mephibosheth. It's hard to say that sometimes. Mephibosheth, you tried. It should be a surprise to each one of us. We are surprised because most of us, many of us, are crippled in some way. I'm not talking about necessarily being crippled physically as Mephibosheth. Maybe we are crippled in spirit. Maybe we are crippled in our morals. Maybe we are crippled in our commitment. But we are still treated as a child of the King. Mephibosheth was crippled physically, and we are crippled in so many ways. But still, the King, Jesus, invites us to his table. Each time I take the bread and the cup in Holy Communion, I am awed by the symbolism of this sacrament. But what surprises me even more was the Master taking the towel and the basin of water that Thursday evening before his crucifixion and washing the feet of those crippled disciples. I'm surprised at his acceptance of Judas with his greed. I'm surprised at his acceptance of Peter with his impulsiveness. I'm surprised at the acceptance of Thomas with his doubts. I'm surprised at the acceptance of James and John with their impulsive behavior. His acceptance of them makes me aware that he accepts me, even though I am at times crippled in spirit. All of us are crippled in some way because of our sin. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. No one who ever lived is perfect except Jesus. All of us are sinners. But still we are invited as a child of God to eat at the King's table. I was standing at the window of a nursery in a hospital some years ago, and there were a number of new parents and grandparents looking with excitement at the babies all out there for them to see. And my eyes caught a sign in the window. The sign read, "I know I'm somebody because God don't make no junk." We are all somebody. In spite of our sin, we are somebody in the sight of God. We are a child of God through our faith in Jesus Christ, and we are invited to eat at the King's table. Mephibosheth, crippled as he was surprised that he was invited to eat at the King's table. And we should be surprised as well. But God gives to us that offer to eat at his table. Today is Worldwide Communion Day, and today we join men and women around the world who come to the Lord's table to receive Christ's gifts of mercy and forgiveness. And may we all come humbly confessing our sin, our unworthiness. Come and remember what Christ has done for us. Eat and drink at this holy meal and experience the grace, the love of Jesus. Amen.